You made me nervous, I ran away. No. Okay, turn your Bibles this evening to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, please. Gospel of Luke and chapter 10. And we're going through a three-part series at the start of 2019 to hopefully get our sails set for the Lord in the right direction, that we may glorify him this year. And this morning we looked at the need to make some godly resolutions, didn't we? And the first one was to have one passion, closeness to God. Looking at David's example there in Psalm 27, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire at his temple. And tonight we're looking at the need then to resolve to have one priority, communion with God. One priority, communion with God. And we're looking at that phrase that's coming through in each of these passages, one thing. One thing, Psalm 27, David had one thing he aimed for in his life and God blessed him for it. Now we come to Mary and we find the secret to Mary's life. She had one thing that was needful in her life. And then, Lord willing, next Sunday morning we're going to look at Paul's one thing. One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forward under those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So very important. This time of year, many people make all sorts of resolutions. I mentioned this morning, statistically, usually has something to do with trying to lose weight or exercise or maybe better money management. But most people's resolutions fizzle by about the second week of February. Okay, gym memberships spike this time of year as well. Okay, and maybe some of you could do with that or us. But no, stay away from the gym, but maybe, I don't know, go walking or something. But there you go. But certainly as God's people, there's something, isn't there, about resolving in our hearts certain things before the Lord. And I guess there's something about a fresh start, isn't there, really, at the start of the year. It's sort of some optimism there. We look back over maybe some successes and also some failures of the previous year. But there's something, isn't there, about the sense of a fresh start and the opportunity maybe to do things better. And this is what drives people to those resolutions, no doubt. But as believers, we want to try and get our resolve in the right direction for this year with godly objectives. So one passion. Now tonight, one priority. Let's look at our text, please. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38 and down. Please watch out for one thing, the one thing, and underline it as we go through. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing, there it is, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. So we see in Mary, she had one priority, communion with God. May that one thing be our resolve this year also. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come here tonight and to spend some moments in your word. Lord, keep from the preacher tonight words that don't need to be said. At the same time, Lord, fill the preacher's mind and heart with those words you would have said, Lord, that we would go away from this place tonight knowing that we have met with you. Lord, help us to have godly resolves. Lord, we recognise at the outset here that we cannot live the Christian life without your power and your grace. But Lord, help us to do our part and Lord, to cooperate with your workings in us and to set godly priorities in our lives and then trusting you, Lord, to help us to glorify you in that. So Lord, bless us. We do thank you for all the blessings of 2018. We thank you, Lord, now for a new year opening before us. Lord, we don't know what is going to happen this year. You could come again. Lord, we could be raptured before this service is even complete, and that would be a wonderful blessing. But Lord, should you decide to leave us here for a little bit longer, for another year, Lord, we pray that we might make this year count for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, that as a church, we would do great exploits, not for the glory and honour of our name, but for your name. And then Lord, in our individual lives as well, our family lives, help us, Lord, to be consumed with the one thing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Priorities. Priorities. Mary knew what it was to have the right priority in her life. And we have really in this passage before us a contrast between two sisters, Mary and Martha. They were very different even in their personalities, and that's not unusual. Even within one family, you can have a brother and sister or two sisters that may be from the same parents, but very different in their makeup and their emotional dynamics and all sorts of things. We see in Martha a woman who was very concerned to be serving, and that was a wonderful trait. We find later in, as you read in John 12, we find just a little note about Martha again. It says, "And Martha served." And then we find Mary anointing the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Martha was, this is one of her strengths. She loved to serve the Lord. But what we see before us in the passage here is that there is a need to set the right priorities, and Christ instructs us here that there is one thing that is needful. There is one necessity for our Christian lives, and other things are negotiable. Other things need to be orientated and ordered appropriately to make sure that one thing is given adequate attention and priority. And so let's consider this tonight. One priority. I want you to look firstly, as we study this passage, at Mary's devotion in verse 39. Can you see Mary's devotion there in verse 39? We have a sister called Mary here who sat where? At Jesus' feet and heard his word. It seems, just by the way, that this home had a special place in the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was located in Bethany, which is not too far from Jerusalem there, somewhere in the vicinity of the Mount of Olives. And it seems that Martha, Mary, and their brother Lazarus had a special desire and a special heart to open their home to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was a wonderful thing. But we see Mary's devotion in verse 39. And a couple of things about that devotion. We see that she was a worshipper. Mary was a worshipper. She had that spirit of worship that captivated her life. She drew close to the Lord, didn't she, really, like few others, and even surpassed the disciples in her understanding of the Lord's coming death. And you can read about that in John chapter 12, where the Lord Jesus spoke about the fact that Mary had come to anoint his body aforehand to the burying. The disciples didn't seem to be able to comprehend or understand the fact that Christ was going to go to the cross and die. But Mary, worshipful Mary, one reflective Mary, had taken the time to understand the heart of the Lord Jesus. So we see in Mary that she was a worshipper. It's interesting, actually, just to consider Mary's life and her relationship to the feet of the Lord Jesus. Here we have Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. Then later in John 12, we find Mary anointing the feet of Jesus Christ with that costly ointment, and then wiping his feet with her hair. We see the secret to Mary's devotion was that she kept her head near his feet. That's a good position, by the way, as a Christian. Keep your head near the feet of Christ. That's humility. That's the place of lowliness, isn't it? And humbleness. And those who will place themselves in that low and humble position can know the blessings from Christ that few others will experience. James 4:6 tells us, "God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble." So we see Mary's devotion. She was a worshipper, but we also see that she was a learner. She sat at his feet, at Jesus' feet, and what? Heard his word. So her position there in front of the feet of Jesus reveals the fact that she was a worshipper of Christ, but she was also a learner at the feet of Christ. She heard his word. Now, the idea here in the grammar is that she heard Christ speaking and went on hearing. This was a process of time that took place as she sat there and listened to the Lord Jesus speak to her concerning the truth. Now, this was the position of the disciple in the ancient world. They would sit at the feet of the teacher. Albert Barnes says the ancient posture of disciples or learners was to sit at one's feet, and it means that she was a disciple of Christ, that she listened attentively to his instructions and was anxious to learn from his doctrine. Are you a learner tonight? Do you have a teachable spirit? We see in Mary a passion and a desire to be at the feet of Christ and to learn, to hear his word. What sort of priority do we place upon the word of God? What sort of emphasis do we place upon it? What sort of priority do we give to sitting at the feet of Christ in our personal lives? Now, we know that obviously Christ is physically at this time in heaven, but through the Spirit we can enter into the presence of Christ, as we spoke about this morning, and we can sit at the feet of Christ through the word of Christ by opening the Scriptures, and we can hear from him, can't we? Does that get priority in your life, your personal life? We're talking about one priority, aren't we? Devotion to Christ. This overlaps really very strongly with this morning's message, having that passion to be in the presence of the Lord. So Mary knew what it was to be a devoted disciple. She was a worshipper and she was a learner of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, too many Christians today sit in front of the TV more than they do at the feet of Jesus Christ. And not just the TV, it can be any number of things. And we just are so often filling our hearts and minds with things that have nothing to do with the Lord or things that do not profit. I wonder, how much time do you spend in books rather than the book? Do you spend more time sitting at the feet of a novelist than you do sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ in your daily life? Do you spend more time in front of the programming of the world than you do sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, this is the priority we need to have in our lives. As one old poem says, "Lo, at thy feet, Lord Jesus, this is the place for me. There I have learned sweet lessons, truth that has set me free." So we see Mary's devotion. Look at, secondly, at Martha's distress. Can you see Martha's distress in verse 40? But Martha, abrupt contrast here, was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." So we have Mary devotion, now Martha's distress. I think if you're honest, and if I'm honest, we could probably identify more with Martha in this passage than with Mary. The Marys tend to be the few and far between, don't they? The Marthas are many, and the Martha is very strong in each of us. Martha was cumbered about much serving. We see a couple of things about her distress here. There was distraction. The word cumbered there means to be burdened down, to be pulled or dragged away, to be distracted. It means to be drawn about in different directions. Okay, so here we have the picture of a woman who is cumbered down. You understand the word cumbersome, maybe a cumbersome load or object, meaning it's awkward, it's difficult maybe to carry, perhaps it's a heavy object. That's the picture here, that she was trying to juggle all these activities and this service for the Lord, and she was being pulled in all directions. Can't you see her there? A hive of activity in the kitchen as Mary sits at the feet of Christ. And the pot's boiling over, and there's salad to prepare over here, and there's something to be cleaned over here, and she's buzzing, and she's moving, and she's running around, and eventually she comes and explodes on Christ. Distraction. She was, as we would say maybe today, all wrapped up in her activities. In fact, she was so wrapped up in trying to serve the Lord, she'd lost sight of the Lord himself. Isn't that a common problem that we have? You know, there's nothing wrong tonight with serving the Lord so long as our serving does not cause us to lose sight of the Saviour. Is it a noble thing to serve the Lord? Absolutely. Is it a Christian duty to serve the Lord? Absolutely. And that should be the heartbeat of our lives, to serve our Saviour. But here we're going to learn a very important lesson, that our service needs to be an outflow of our walk with the Lord. Our service for Christ needs to be empowered by our time spent at His feet. Serving Christ is good, so long as it's an outflow of our time spent at His feet and done in His power and not in the strength and energy of the self-life. You see, Mary was serving the Lord in the energy of the natural man. She was driving herself in the strength of the flesh. It was the self-life getting involved and entangled with and intermingled with her service for Christ. Isn't that common with us? How the self-life loves to exert itself in the place of Christian service. We need to pray, Lord, help, Lord, keep self out of my service for You. You know something I've been praying of recent? Lord, may my motives for serving You be produced by the workings of the Holy Spirit in me and not the impulses of the flesh. Lord, please help my motives. You know, so even our motives at times are produced by the flesh nature in us, and they're all wrong. And we need to say, Lord, may my motives even for serving You, the reason behind why I'm serving You, be something that's produced by the workings of Your Holy Spirit in me and not from the flesh life, the self life, working and exerting itself. Mary was cumbered down, burdened down, distracted, pulled in all directions, frazzled. Do you feel frazzled at times? Mums? Dads? And it can be frazzling, can't it? I mean, we talk about this sometimes as parents. We sit down. The other day we sat in the front lounge, we were trying to talk. I said, give it 1 minute before the next interruption. Sure enough, Mum, straight through the door. Just wait a minute, Mum, Dad are talking. Give it another minute or two. It's constant, isn't it? And don't you feel at times pulled in all directions? And if we're not careful, in that environment of busyness, and as much as that may be necessity, if we're not careful, we can start to grind away in the flesh, and we're doing it all in the strength of the natural man, and we're trying to make things happen, and we begin to just grind away without the joy of the Lord in our lives and without doing things from the right power source. You know, something isn't there about busyness that seems to make the flesh life run hot. You know, you see this in church at times. You know, I'm thankful for just the wonderful spirit that's here at the moment and the spirit to serve. But I'll just say this. This is human nature. We've got to be aware of it this year. As we serve the Lord this year, when things get busy, even with doing good activities, and maybe it might be spiritual things like soul winning or whatever, when there's activity going, if we don't allow the oil of the Spirit to do its work in the machinery there to keep things running smoothly, things get very hot and start to burn away, and we start to get narky one with another. And it's in this activity of busyness, in this environment of busyness, that often the flesh life begins to run hot and exert itself. Bear that in mind with building program work, okay? No, I'm serious. I'm excited about how the Lord's provided and how we're looking to do some more projects in this place to do upgrades to the building. But there's one thing at times I dread is sometimes what seems to be at the inevitable rubbing together of friction, opinion against opinion, and these sorts of things. And I'm just saying, look, we understand we have to discuss things, but just be aware that when things are busy, 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 that's when the flesh life can start to get involved and we can start to wound each other and blow up at each other and lose grace. So what's the solution? Well, spend some time at the feet of Christ before you come to vote on something, okay? Spend some time at the feet of Christ, surrendering your opinions and your ideas, and take to heart what the Bible says about submitting one to another in the fear of the Lord. So, Martha's distress, distraction, cumbered down, burdened, cumbered about much serving. We see also frustration, don't we? This inner turmoil in Martha finds expression in outward frustration. Have you ever felt like exploding in frustration? Some of you are looking very spiritual, but if I could come tomorrow morning, Monday morning, and see you in action, I'm sure. You can see me too. But anyway, no, that wouldn't be good. You'd never take me seriously from the pulpit ever again. But frustration. We notice her frustration was directed towards two people. Firstly, can you see her frustration towards the Lord? She came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me." You know, it's amazing, isn't it, that sometimes in the process of serving God and being busy for God, we can actually end up getting annoyed and angry and frustrated at the very God we're trying to serve. Have you ever said something like, "Lord, why on earth is this not working out? Lord, why? Lord, what on... how come that happened? Why do things have to be so stressful? Why is my day turning out this way?" Have you ever exploded at the Lord? We don't mean it, do we? But sometimes we forget who we're speaking to. She certainly forgot she was speaking to the Lord of the universe. She came to him. The picture here is of her stepping up and bursting in upon the tranquil scene there. There's always someone, isn't there, to interrupt your devotion. Spending time with Christ, it's like there's a Martha somewhere lurking around the corner who's just, it just feels compelled to come and interrupt. He says, "Lord, don't you care?" She accused Christ essentially of being uncaring towards her. "Don't you care? Lord, don't you care about me?" It's amazing, by the way, how often the people that accuse others of being uncaring are sometimes some of the rudest people that you can ever come across. Lobby a lot about love and mercy, but themselves can't say a proper hello to a fellow brother or sister in Christ. Rude. She was being rude to the Lord. And in the process, accusing him of being uncaring towards her. We do get frustrated at times at the Lord when strained or stressed over the to-do list, don't we? "Lord, why on earth is this happening? Why is my day not turning out as planned?" Well, maybe because you didn't stop to get the plan from the King of Kings. Or maybe you're approaching the day without the spirit of submission. "Okay, Lord, if you would have my day go in this unforeseen direction, I'm going to trust you." Spirit of worship and submission. So Martha seemed to forget who she was speaking to. She was trying to get the Lord of the universe on board with her program rather than submitting to his plan. We do that, don't we? Frustrated because my plan, my schedule's not working out. The problem is Martha had missed the opportunity. It seems that Mary was possessed of a spirit of discernment. She seemed to understand the time that it was. And it wasn't that it was wrong to serve, but it wasn't the right time. It was time to sit at Christ's feet and to seize the opportunity to have an audience with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we need, like Mary, to learn that same principle. So she was frustrated at the Lord. Then, can you see, she was frustrated at Mary? "Lord, bid her, she's left me to serve alone." It seems from this that Mary was actually working with Martha in the home there before Christ arrived. Okay, and when Christ arrived, Mary dropped everything and said, "It's time I'm going to go spend time with the Lord." And Martha, can't you see her there buzzing around the kitchen? And she's not saying anything to start with, but you can see the temperature going up. Have you ever felt that way? And you can feel the rage starting to seethe and to bubble and to boil, or maybe you've seen it in someone and all of a sudden it explodes out in frustration. You know, when we are carnal in our service for the Lord, we not only wound the Lord's heart essentially and grieve the Holy Spirit, we actually end up hurting others around us. When you approach the service of God within the local church from a fleshly perspective, you are actually going to be a injury to somebody else around you, your fellow brother or sister in Christ. We often end up injuring, don't we, those who are closest to us, e.g. family, when we're serving in a carnal fashion. When we serve in a wrong spirit, we hurt those closest to us, particularly with our tongues. It's challenging stuff, isn't it, for family life? No one's around to watch you. Come to church all dressed up in your suit and tie. Smile nicely, go home, have a wrangle with the missus, the kids. Frustrated over all there is to do. I understand this is life, but if we would learn to maybe just unwind a bit at the feet of Christ, make time for that, it would help. It'd help a lot. So she was frustrated at the Lord. She's also frustrated at Mary. You know, it's for Mary, this would have been a bit of a cross to her, really, to bear with the misunderstanding. You know, when you are going to be, when you endeavour to be devoted to Christ and to draw close to Him, please don't be surprised if you attract criticism. If your devotion to Christ and your passion for Christ attracts criticism and opposition, sometimes from those closest to you. What, you're reading another chapter of the Bible? It's that preacher's fault with that 10-month, that 4-month Bible reading plan. By the way, I hope you're not. I hope no one here would do that. Complain about people reading too much of the Word of God. I'm very thankful, actually. I remember once, as a child, I was reading. It was bedtime, and I was reading my Bible. They had the hallway light on, and Dad came and said, "Look, get into bed, son. You know, it's late or whatever." And then he came back later and said, "Look, son, if you want to read the Bible, I won't stop you from reading the Bible. You can read it any time." I thought, great, I get to stay up, but. Usually reading the Bible has a way of making you feel sleepy. I don't know why, but at night time. You get into a lot of trouble, can't you, for simply just trying to be close to the Lord. Look, I'm really not trying to go around and put myself out there and advertise. I'm not trying to be. I just want to be close to the Lord, and I got into so much trouble. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised that your devotion to Jesus Christ at times will bring you into conflict with others, sometimes those closest to you. And we need to be careful, don't we, that we don't fall into the Martha category of just running over the top of someone else's devotional life and bruising and wounding them and bringing injury to their hearts because we are just living in the strength of the flesh life. So we see Martha's distress. Notice thirdly now, the Master's discourse. The Master's discourse. We have the Lord Jesus' words now. He speaks into the situation. Verse 41, "And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha." It's interesting, isn't it, how many times the Lord does that in the Bible when he wants to get someone's attention. Seth, gets your attention, doesn't it? George. Doesn't the Lord have to come to us at times and snap us out of it? Simeon, what are you doing? Can't you hear the Lord's, almost his tone of voice there? I don't know how he spoke. Maybe he spoke very softly. Martha, Martha, just understanding. Thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. So we see Christ's words to Martha contain some important lessons. We see there's a profound insight. A profound insight. Christ puts his finger right on Martha's problem. And sometimes we don't always know exactly what the issue is. And we can be feeling so overwhelmed and burdened. And the Lord Jesus just sees right into Mary at Martha's heart here and says, "Thou art careful and troubled about many things." The word careful means, it's not in old English, it means something a bit different to the way we use it today. It means to be anxious or worried or stressed about something. The word troubled was a common word for a tumult. You say, what's a tumult? A tumult is where you have maybe a huge multitude that's raising a commotion. And there's agitation and there's disturbance, there's noise. Ever been in a crowd and heard all the din and the noise and the dust? Okay, that's the picture here behind the word troubled. There was war in her heart. Some of you listened to that message I sent around by the Irish preacher there. He said, and when there's war within, there'll be what? War without. with others. It's the thrashing of the self-life, isn't it, in us? The thrashing of the self-life. Do you understand what I mean by the self-life? That's that thing that Paul spoke about, in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. You say, I'm saved. Absolutely, we are saved, but until we go home to heaven, we still have to battle with something called the old man, who wants to exert himself in our lives. That's the self-life, the self-sins that so often go unnoticed. And the cry of the sinner is, Lord, save me from sin. But the cry of the Christian is to become, Lord, save me from me. Save me from self. So she had an agitated state of mind that then fruited in that those outward explosions of frustration. You know, something we can do, can't we, with the burdens when we're cumbered about much serving, when we are feeling careful and troubled about many things. What's the solution? Well, Philippians 4, 6 through 7 is a very important verse. It says, be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. There's that word again. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And here's the result. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, that's a promise from God, and God can't lie. And our lack of the experience of the peace of God is not in any way due to a failure on God's part. God will be faithful to fulfill his promise to you, to grant you his peace, if you will do the first part of the verse. And consciously bring those concerns, those worries, those fears into his presence. Remember the hymn? What a friend we have in Jesus. What does one of the verses say? Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Why? All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Psalm 55:22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Give those burdens to the Lord. Hand them over to him, and don't take them back. Hand them over. So there was a lot on Martha's mind. There was a profound insight from the Lord here. He just saw right into the problem. And he sees into our hearts too. And he can diagnose our problem too as the one who knows all things. Then we see Christ's words contain a pointed instruction. A profound insight, but a pointed instruction. Verse 42, but one thing is needful. But one thing is needful. Martha, you're troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. That's a pointed instruction. One thing is needful. That means that only one thing is necessary. You know, that would be a good way to approach our daily life, wouldn't it? In actual fact, as far as God sees, there's only one thing that is absolutely necessary for today. And that's to spend time at the feet of the Lord Jesus. Everything else is negotiable. This one thing is not. Did you read the Word of God this week? Did you pray on a daily basis? It's a challenge, isn't it? The devotional life. How often do we hear seasoned men of God say, I come back to time and time again, your devotional life, your walk with the Lord, it's the key, We've got to get back to the feet of the Lord Jesus if we would be effective then to go out and serve him. You see, our serving needs to flow from our resting. Our labours for Christ need to flow out of our relationship with Christ. You see, the Lord Jesus is not just concerned about what we do, so far as our service is concerned, but he is also concerned about why we do it, and he's also concerned about the power behind what we're doing. Is it something we're doing in our own strength, or something done in his strength? You know, spending time at the feet of the Lord Jesus is the one needful thing. Why is it that we often cut it short or neglect it for the many things? Can you see the contrast here? In fact, if you have a pen, underline or circle many things, and then in the next verse, circle one thing and draw maybe a little line between the two. Can you see the difference? We've got the many things over against the one thing. Our problem is, in practice, the many things tend to consume our lives to the neglect of the one thing. Christ says you need to adjust that priority. One thing is needful. The many things, they're not. necessarily necessary. So what's your first priority? The many things or the one thing? What comes first? What gets the best of your time? And I've mentioned this morning, we're not talking about becoming monks in a monastery somewhere where we sit cross-legged and go, okay, and spend all our time. We understand there are activities of life. You can't get up in the morning, mums, and pretend the children aren't there. Someone's going to spend time at the feet of Christ all day while they cry in the cot. It's not going to work. But when you have the time, what do you do with it? When you have that spare hour or two, how do you use that? Park yourself in front of the idiot box? It's challenging, isn't it? Profound insight of the Lord. Pointed instruction. One thing's needful. A precious illustration also. He says, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Mary is that illustration of that truth of the one thing that is needful. Mary hath chosen that good part. You see that there's a choice involved here? Mary reflected the right order of priorities. I wonder tonight, how's your priorities in your life for 2019? We talked this morning about passion. What's your passion? Do you have a divided heart trying to channel your affection into so many different things rather than the Lord? What about your priority list? How high on your priority list is the Word of God, spending time at the feet of Christ? You know, it thrills me to see the tremendous response there's been to the Tuesday night class. That encourages me. It's an answer to prayer to see God's people wanting to spend time in the Word of God. That's value. That's the sort of thing we want to see in this church, where people are pursuing the Lord and getting their priorities adjusted so that the Word of God and spending time at the feet of Christ gets the priority it deserves, not just in my personal life, but in my corporate life as a church as well. Isn't coming to church a part of essentially sitting at the feet of Jesus? You're not here to sit at the feet of the pastor. He's just the vessel that hopefully will be used of the Lord. But ultimately, if as the Word of God is preached, that's the voice of Christ speaking to you through the Word of God. So she made the right choice. Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. You can't take this from her, Martha. Time spent with the Lord is not wasted time, is it? It's never wasted time. And spiritual priorities reap lasting rewards. So the Master's discourse. As we think about 2019, what are your priorities for this year? How high on that priority list is your walk with the Lord? Growing in Christ's likeness? Hearing the Word of God, maybe we need to go back and look at our priority list again. And remember, one thing is needful. What should I resolve for 2019, Pastor? Well, resolve like David. One thing have I desired of the Lord. One passion. Passion for God. Resolve like Mary to have the one thing that she had there. One priority. Communion with God. And then, Lord willing, next Sunday morning we'll look at Paul's example, this one thing I do, one pursuit, conformity to God. Let's pray. Father, we